Now, I was watching PBS this last Monday night where they had a special on Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, one of the greatest architects of all time. And what I didn't know about him was that in part how he got to be so good is studying under one of America's premier architects by the name of Louis Sullivan. And this is the way that it happens when we grow. We put ourselves underneath somebody who can teach us things and grow us in ways that we don't even know about. I know for me, as a leader, one of the things, I actually believe my primary responsibility is to outgrow everybody who looks to me for leadership. That's my primary responsibility, outgrow them. Not because of a sense of competition, but because if I want to best serve and best help somebody, I need to be someplace where I have something to give. And God wants to be our ultimate leader. And he doesn't need to grow because he already perfectly embodies all that is great, all that is right. And so what prayer is coming underneath God's leadership to be to have growth happen in us so that we can talk with God and God can talk with us. And one of the things that I don't like about my job is some of the baggage that people put on me as a result of my job. I remember one time Libby and I went to friend of hers house, it was years ago, and we stopped in, and her mom actually answered the door, and she came to the door, and she saw me. She went, "Oh, we were just praying like we always do." I was thinking, I'm just barfing like I always do, if you kind of pretend to be holy and spiritual. Maybe it was just, you know, it kind of annoyed me, because I had a good feeling that she was not doing that right there, but what she did say was something that was very, very biblical and very honorable, like we always do. There's a couple verses in the Bible that talk about prayer being in a continual sense. It says this in 1 Thessalonians. It says, pray continually. And then Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. This means that prayer is having an attitude, a conversation that happens all the time in every different circumstance. You're going to hear more about this in the weeks ahead, but I've been learning more and more recently about how the brain is formed. There is more and more research that's showing that the brain literally changes, that parts of the brain literally grow if you exercise your brain and do a certain thing repetitively over and over and over again. Actually, the brain chemicals start getting stimulated. Synapses, which is the connectors of different parts of the brain, start getting strengthened. And these regions that are responsible for different types of behavior and thought patterns actually can expand. It's one of the reasons why, you know, when you're a golfer or something like that, go out in the golf range and hit all the balls you want. But one of the things you can also do if you can't get out in the range is do visualization exercises where you just spend a lot of time intensely thinking through your swing. And then when you go out to do your swing, your body actually has changed because it's in sync with the brain that you've strengthened that area. And that's why all of a sudden your swing starts happening naturally. This is proven over and over again. And this is one of the reasons I'm convinced God knew this a long, long time ago, more before we started, you know, having neuroscientists do incredible things. And it's one of the reasons why one of his charges to us, anybody who wants to grow, is to pray continuously. Talk continuously, because it's like you are stimulating aspects of your brain, aspects of your spirit that will grow and change and morph. You know, praying at all times doesn't mean that we all become monks, you know, and just kind of, you know, lay on some hay all day. You know, that's not what it means. It means that we go about our normal day, we talk with God. Now, for some of us, you're thinking, my goodness, Brian, that's about as selfish as you can possibly imagine. Why? That's so selfish. Why would I do that? See, because for you, prayer means I go to get something. And so you automatically think prayer is all about I want something. And so you might think it's very selfish to just continually go God with my list of things that I want. And that is only a part of what prayer is about. And I'm convinced that the reason why many of us don't have a better prayer life, we don't know how to pray, we don't know how to talk with God, and we don't know how to grow through that, is because we have some faulty understandings of what prayer is. I remember when I first became a Christ follower, the first 3 years or so, I rarely prayed at all. I would almost never pray. And it wasn't so much laziness as it was ignorance on my part. I thought to myself, you know, God's got more than enough problems dealing with war, dealing with world hunger and terrorism and biological warfare and Martha Stewart. I mean, he's got more than enough things that are really bad that he's got to deal with, you know? And so, you know, what is it me coming to him with my stuff? And I actually, here's actually the way I thought about it. I thought I had to save up my requests. I had to save up my prayers, because then what will happen is when I really need God in crunch time, God's going to go, whoa, is that my man Brian praying? Oh, man, whoa. I better stop everything. I better put it on hold, because Brian doesn't pray. When he prays, I know it's important and I'm going to be on it. And so I would, you know, I would do like conservation of prayer, like it was a resource that needed to be conserved. And it's not. It's something that needs to be used continuously. And the more you use it, the more you grow, the more that you morph. God never grows tired when we talk with him. One of the people that has had a big impact on growing me is a guy by the name of Bill Hybels, who I'll actually bring in a few weeks to help some people around here grow. He's had a massive, massive impact on my life. He wrote a book that is the single, in my opinion, the single best book on prayer. Simple read. If you want to read one, read this one. Too Busy Not to Pray. There's a bunch of different covers for it. And in the midst of this book, Too Busy Not to Pray, he says this. He says, no one's voice sounds sweeter to God than yours. God never tires of hearing people talk to him. Never. Praying is simply talking with God. Talking verbally like I am, or enabling your mind to address him, because he's aware of all of our thoughts. He's aware of all of our actions. He's aware of all of our words. He's aware of all of our motives. And so what does it mean to pray continually? It means that we bring God to bear in every area of our life so that we can grow. It means that we are on the potter's wheel all the time. We place ourselves on the potter's wheel, and we allow God to put his hands all over us. Last week, and just a couple examples. Last week, I had a difficult conversation I had to have with somebody. And so as I'm walking to where I'm going to have that conversation, I'm thinking, and my thoughts, I'm having them connect with God, and I'm saying, God, just help me in this conversation. Help me to have the right attitude. Help me to be wise in the way in which I bring this information forth. Help me. And we're sitting down, and we're talking, and as I'm talking with this individual, you know, I'm trying to pay attention to what this person is saying. At the same time, I'm also connecting with God, saying, God, help me to hear this person for what he's really saying here right now. Now, God, as I say this, help this come out right. And then there was a moment of silence after I said what needed to be said, and I'm thinking, God, help him hear what actually was said, not to put baggage on it, but to really have those words sink in. And then as he responded to me, it was a great conversation, and I felt it was a great conversation in large part because I was trying to bring God's power to bear to grow me and enable me to have the right words and to grow that person in processing that stuff. At Next Level, our service that helps all of us go to the next level in our relationship with God. This last week, Brian Wells was teaching, and I was sitting out here and just growing. And the way I'm growing is I'm going, okay, God, he's talking about this thing called the Holy Spirit. What does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? How should I apply this? Oh, is that what you're saying, God? Should I be doing that right now? I'm talking with him. I'm having my mind directed to him as I'm listening to Brian and as I'm talking. See, prayer is not this ceremonial religious babble. It's not this stuff where we just kind of give these incantations over and over and over again. I remember my only prayer I ever knew was, God is great, God is good, last thing before food. And then I added something onto it. God's great, God's good, let us sing for our food. By his hands we all are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. You know? And I guess at one point, if I'm really thinking about those words, perhaps I'm connecting with God. But really, when I was saying those words, I really wasn't connecting with God. I was saying something that I thought was spiritual, and God's going, are you talking to me? Sounded like you were doing some incantation repeating thing, but I don't know that you were actually talking with me. Nothing wrong to do by rote prayers. But we need to think to ourselves, am I doing this to be religious or spiritual? Or am I really doing this so I want to talk with God, and this is a growth exercise for me to connect with God? I'm going to say, you know, I tried prayer once, but, you know, I don't do that anymore. Aunt Sue still died. I still had to go through chemotherapy. I still lost the account. I'm still single. I still don't have kids. It just doesn't work for me. God didn't answer my prayer. God answers every prayer. every prayer. God answers every prayer with yes, no, or wait. God answers every prayer, yes, no, or wait. Now, we thank God, I heard some of the chuckles out there, and I understand why you're chuckling on something like that, because, you know, it kind of sounds like a, you know, pithy comeback, but it's really not a pithy comeback. The reason that that's the way that God responds is that God isn't so much interested in changing your world as he is in changing your world. See, we think that we go to God to get stuff. God says, no, you come to me to grow stuff. You come to me for stuff to change, and I'm primarily working on you. And so the very thing that you might be asking for to make your life more comfortable, God sometimes says, see, I'm about growing you, and you don't need any more comfort right now. You don't need any more money right now. You don't need any more recognition right now. You don't need more stuff right now. You need to grow, and some of these things are being a distraction. So sometimes why God says no or wait is not because he's being miserly, but because he's being very generous in how he wants to grow us. And it is an art form. Growth is an art form. And how God addresses you as an individual, unique piece of canvas is a way in which is honoring to you, for you to grow to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. But one of the reasons why we also don't get more yeses is because we're not walking in the midst of the principle that Jesus gave in the book of John. John chapter 15. Here's what Jesus says. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Jesus is saying one of the ways that you get more yeses in prayer, one of the ways that you feel like you connect with God and things start to happen that you pray for, is that you start being in the zone with God and you start having a relationship with him through his son Jesus. And through that, your desires start to get morphed. Through that, your attitude starts to change. And you naturally start to want the things that God wants. And you start to ask for things that aren't asked in a selfish way, but they are asked in a way that God says, yeah, that would be a great thing for you to have. Or yes, that'd be a great thing for somebody else to have. And as you're remaining in relationship with God, then your prayer life starts to happen and change because you're communicating at a level that God totally understands. As opposed to, I'm in my own world, I'm in a relationship with my own needs, and God, come over here and dip your little sweet sugar finger in my life and just stir it around a little bit. One of the reasons many of us have a frustrating prayer life is because we're praying about things that God doesn't give a rip about. And we're praying for those things because we were out of touch with who God is, and we are not growing towards being in his world. We're still staying in our own world, and therefore, it's like ships passing the night, and there can't be effective communication that takes place. Conservative and polarizing talk show host Rush Limbaugh had a rare ear disorder where he lost his hearing. I haven't kept up on this recently. I don't know where he is on the whole hearing thing, but he was, you know, just deaf for all intents and purposes. And someone asked him what this was going to mean to his career, and here's what he says. He said, I've lost my ability to hear. I haven't lost my ability to communicate. Now, sorry, Rush, you're wrong. You're wrong. Now, depending on your political persuasion, you might want me to say you're wrong again, or you're wrong for the first time. But, you know, politics aside, the dude on this is dead wrong. Absolutely dead wrong. And by the way, you know, when I've listened to Rush Limbaugh, it's abundantly clear to me that he's not really interested in growth for himself. He's interested in you thinking like him, or you and I thinking like him. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's exactly the kind of statement that somebody who isn't a growth master would make. Because you can't grow if you're not hearing. You can't grow if you're not communicating. And communication is two ways. It's not just that, 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 God, that, God, here I am, God, talk, talk, that, that, that. It is also shutting your yapper, that, 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 that. And listening. And hearing. And seeing what God might be saying to you. And God gives these messages. God sends us these communiques all the time if we would just listen. One of my more embarrassing ones took place a few months ago. Family went to this place where you could swim with dolphins. It was kind of a cool deal. And what they do is you swim with these dolphins, and they're trying to just suck every ounce of green out of you they possibly can at this place. So they're some of you are nodding your head, going, "You've been there, yeah." So they got digital cameras out there in the water, and these, you know, they're taking these pictures and everything. And then after the whole thing, you go into this tent and they have a screen with all the pictures they've snapped, and you kind of touch the screen as to which ones you want. So I'm kind of touching the ones that I want. And then at that point, you walk to the other side of the compound and you go to this kiosk thing and you pick up your pictures and you actually, you know, pay for them there. So I pick out the ones I want. I go to the other side and I'm waiting in line. A woman comes up and gives me, I give her my name, and she gives me these pictures. I open them up. One is of my wife and another one is somebody who I've never seen before. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, these are not the ones that, you know, these are not the ones I ordered. You know, my wife, I didn't order this one, and I don't even know this person. You know, it's like, you know, I don't love my wife enough to get a picture of her. I get them of my kids, not her. And this person, you know, I didn't say that to her, but, you know, it's kind of, well, one of the things that we do, you know, kind of watching the money, you know, let's not buy pictures of each other, of the kids, that kind of thing. So I said, these are not the ones I ordered. She said, oh, I'm sorry. So she went back behind this thing. She was gone for about 5 more minutes. And she came back out and she said, here you are. She brought me 2 more. I said, oh, good. I opened them up and there it was, the same picture of my wife and this other person who I've never seen before. I said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm thinking that she doesn't think I'm telling the truth or something like that. I said, really, really? You know, my wife and I, we don't buy pictures of each other. And I've never seen this woman. Why would I ever buy something of somebody I've never seen? Didn't even look that good, actually. I said, that's just not, you know, not my deal. And so, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So she goes back around. This time she's gone for maybe 10 minutes. I'm waiting and waiting. She comes around. She gives me 2 more pictures. I open up and said, those are the ones. I'm going, ah, thank you. Thank you very much. So as we're checking out and as we're paying, I said to her, I said, you know, because she took these pictures. The first batch was wrong. She put them over here. And then the second batch was wrong. She put them over here again. So there's 4 of them clumped together by this one cash register. And I said, you know, how about you just give me that one of my wife? You know, I mean, I was sitting here for 15 minutes. Somebody just give me that one. Is that okay? I'm smiling. You always smile when you want to get something. Is that okay? Give me that one, my wife. She says, I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that. It's against policy. I went, yeah, okay. I understand. So I paid, and I went to the other side of the compound. We're doing some other swim stuff. About an hour later, we're going to leave. I'm walking by, and we have to walk by this kiosk, and these things are sitting right there, and I'm walking by, and no one's around in the kiosk. There's some people in the back, but no one's riding. I'm going, oh, what the heck? So I just take the thing and I walk out. I walk out. I'm thinking to myself, someone's going to throw these away. Nobody wants. And my wife looks great. No one's going to want her picture. Okay? No one. It's, you know, they're going to be thrown out. It's wasted. And by the way, I'm thinking to myself, this is awful customer care. I mean, come on. Why would you not? This is exactly why businesses fail, because they're not serving the customer, and this is an awful thing. So I just, you know, I just kind of walk out of this thing. No harm, no foul. You know, everything is even. All that stuff. Well, you know, I'm getting some thoughts as I'm walking out there. Oh, maybe you shouldn't have done that. And then 2 days later, thoughts are staying with me and are very, very clear that, you know, call it whatever you want, call it poor customer service, whatever. Basically, that was dishonoring. You took something that was not yours, that was not good. And I'm sensing here that God is sending me what we would call a prompting or a leading or a nudge. These are not just extraneous thoughts. These thoughts are coming, and God, I believe, is starting to cause my thoughts to go that way because he's trying to send me a message. And I've heard enough of these things to know, you know what, you just don't disobey that thing. So pull out my check, write a check, send it in, apology letter, the whole thing, over and done with. See, one of the reasons why we have a frustrating prayer life, and some of us say, well, I don't hear from God, is because when you have heard from God, you've said no. When you've gotten a nudge or a prompting or a thought, you've said no. You've said no. I'm not going to do that. That can't be right. You've ignored it. You've just blown right by it. And you know, have you ever had somebody come to you for advice and they never follow through on it? They never take it. Do you ever give advice anymore? No. You don't take the appointment anymore. Why should I give you any of myself when you never change? Why should I give you any of myself when you never grow? When you never apply it? And for some of us, that's the reason why our prayer life is so stale. Because God's going, I know this routine. You're really not interested in communication. You're interested in your laundry list. You're really not interested in growth. You're really not interested in following through where I am. Jesus says in Matthew 6:6-8, he says this. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus says, look, this thing is, we're talking about intimate communication, some of the most intimate communication you can ever have. Just go and do your business one-on-one with God. And don't babble like the pagans. Now, interestingly enough here, when we think of pagans, we think of, you know, people that are just really, really awful, like, you know, terrorists or murderers or people who put orange cones on highways. I mean, we think of, like, those are the people who are pagans. You know the people who would babble those prayers? They were religious people. Jesus is referring to people who are babbling by rote religious prayers to be seen and to be impressive as pagans. So they think they're communicating. They're not. Just have an honest, simple talk with God. You know, some of you who are seekers, you are the best prayers there are because you ask basic things and you say them in a very unpretentious way, like, God, are you really there? God, I'd like to believe you if you can help me out a little bit. I got an email this last week from a guy who, when he came to Crossroads, he was an agnostic Jew. And he would sit in our A-teams, or small groups we called them then, and at the end of the time he'd say, well, God, you know, I don't believe in you, but if I did, what I would say was, and he would then say something. Very simple, very humble, very straightforward, very unpretentious. Martin Luther King spoke to the first thing. I'm going to give you a formula today. One of the ways you can pray, just you can follow this formula. There is no secret formula, if you will, but I'm going to give you a formula you can follow. And the first part of it is referred to by Martin Luther King. Here's what he says. It's the start that stops most people. I may not be the man I want to be. I may not be the man I ought to be. I may not be the man I could be. I may not be the man I can be. But praise God, I'm not the man I once was. Praise God, I have grown. How to grow through prayer? The first thing is praise. Praise. P-R-A-Y. P is for praise. Now, when we talk about praise, I'm not talking about, you know, well, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that kind of, you know, all the baggage that comes with that. I'm talking about the fact that we understand how to praise Steven Spielberg for a great movie he's done. We understand how to praise somebody and thank somebody and recognize greatness when we see it. And that's what it means to praise God. We recognize greatness when we see it. We thank God for the goodness that we have received. We compliment Him. We express gratitude to Him. We call out the attributes that we've seen in God or that we know about God that need to be expressed and thanked. This is how it refers to this in James 1 in the New Testament, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. There's a lot of things in our life that is not good. There's a lot of things in our life that are painful. Talked about that the last week of the series. There's a lot of things that are rough. But you know, everything that you have in your life that's good has come from God. Everything. It's either come directly from the hand of God where He's intentionally just chosen to give it to you, or He's chosen to not step in the way and stop something good coming to you. No matter how much pain, no matter how much difficulty in your life, there are things in your life that are good, and those things come from God. And when you start to communicate with God, you always start out just saying to God, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for these things that I've been recognizing. Thank you for these aspects of who you are that I've been growing in. Thank you for this thing you gave me, or for this idea. You know, thank you. You might have never done that before. You might have only given God a shopping list. I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. Right now. Let's do that right now. Go ahead and bow your head. God, as your head's bowed, you know, we've been talking with God this whole time. When you bow your head to pray, you can bow your head just to help concentrate, but there's nothing mystical about bowing your head. You can pray with your eyes wide open. You know, but some of us, we can concentrate better this way. And so, God, as we're bowing our heads and we're talking to you, many people in here have just never complimented you. We haven't thanked you for that thing that's been a blessing, a good gift from you. Hear these prayers right now. God knows your thoughts. Direct your thoughts to Him. Talk to Him. Thank Him for the house. You can thank Him for being forgiving. You can thank Him for being loving. You can thank Him for the date you had. You can thank Him for the fact that date ended. Amen. There you go. Now, you know, let's debrief that little exercise we do right there. First of all, you know, sometimes, you know, someone will crack a joke when they're praying or something like that and go, oh, isn't that sacrilegious? No. God laughs. Bible says that people are created in the image of God. So if we're laughing, we inherit that from God. God has no problem with humor. Don't make this some stressful thing like that. You won't talk. Who goes and willingly talks to somebody you get stressed out about? Don't get stressed out about when you go talk with God. Go ahead and be yourself. And then when you don't have to even say anything like amen at the end. You don't have to say that. You want to, say it. If not, don't worry about it. God knows. You're talking about praying at all times, so your prayer should never literally end. You think about God as you go about your day. Say things to Him. That's prayer. The next one, R, repent. Repent. Psalm 32:5 talks about what repentance is. It says this. 32:5, when I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Repentance is when we recognize the things in our life that are not good and are not perfect and are not right and need to be eliminated from our life. And we say, God, I recognize this happened in my life. I'm sorry. I confess this is bad. I'm sorry. I'm looking to change out of this. Don't expect yeses in your prayers if you're not doing a lot of R's. Happens all the time. All the time for me. Yesterday, I'm painting a window. I'm up on the ladder. I'm painting a window. And you know how you get in a zone on something like that? You just start painting. All of a sudden, your mind like locks on one thing. And a half hour later, you find yourself still thinking about that thing. You ever have that? So I'm thinking about this thing. I'm like in the zone. And all of a sudden, I realize that at the end of this half hour, that what started as this, somewhere in here morphed to be a let me think about how great I am exercise. And so, I'm kind of painting. I start to get all these fantasies about myself. And I start to get all these different things are happening. I'm painting. And all of a sudden, I'm painting. I stop. I go, God, I'm so sorry. I have no idea where my mind just went. This thing I've been thinking about, I think I started to put myself a little higher than I should have been. I'm sorry. God, that's so weird how you can paint and all of a sudden you find yourself thinking too much about yourself. So, God, I'm sorry for that. You're God, not me. And I went on. That was a little prayer of repentance, just recognizing something that needs to be called out. That's what repentance is. It's saying, I see, I sense this thing is not right. And so I'm going to stop and make it right with you, and I'm going to change. I want to grow out of it. I want to ask your forgiveness. I want to say sorry, and I want to move beyond this. That's what repentance is. You might have never done that before. You might not have done that this week. You can do it right now. Let's talk to God. God, in this place, are truckloads of sins. Truckloads of things that we have not dealt with, that we've been carrying around as baggage. Things that have dishonored you. Things you're not happy about. But you are happy that we're talking to you about it right now. Here are the people. Come clean with you. Go ahead, just say what it was. God knows what it was. You're not holding any secrets from Him. He knows what it is. Just confess it. Say what it is. And say, God, I'm sorry. Go ahead, tell him. Amen. Okay, the third thing, ask. P-R-A. Ask. This is the fun stuff. This is not. See, now you have a foundation for the fun part. Because you've recognized God for who He is. You've realized, God, it's not about me, because I'm starting off from telling it's about You, and I want to grow in You. And now I recognize there's these things that I have been away from You on, and I need to grow in. And so I've confessed those things, and now I've got a foundation, a firm foundation to stand on, to where my mind and my heart have been purified somewhat. And now, God, the things that I feel like I want, You probably want. Because I've put my brain in the place where it should be. So God, here's some things that I want to ask for. And you need to do this boldly. It's not like in Wayne's World, where we went to Alice Cooper. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. If you've done these first two things, you are worthy. You're worthy. Here's how Jesus put it. Put it in the book of Matthew. He said this. Which of you, If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know, it says that being a dad is evil. I mean, like Jeffrey Dahmer. It just means that I got problems. I get issues. And, you know, even though I've got problems and I do a lot of bad things, I generally understand that it's a nice thing to give my kid PlayStation 2. I generally understand that if he asks for PlayStation 2, I'm not going to give him something to zap him and shock him, you know? A basic father who's got problems understands that. And Jesus says, well, imagine what your heavenly father's like. He loves to say yes. He loves to give things. Like how Billy Graham put it. Billy Graham said this. He said, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. There are things that God will not do. There are things that God will not give if he is not asked. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it is. And I think it's me as a parent. There's things that I wouldn't do for my kids, but when they ask me, that's reasonable. All right, yes, you can have that. God loves saying yes. He loves when we ask him for things, especially when we've been communicating with him. Not just bad, 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 but we've been communicating in this open dialogue. He loves it. Maybe even too afraid to ask God anything. Ask him right now. Let's ask. Go ahead. God, in this place, there are some needs that people have, and there's also some wants. Hear these requests right now. Amen. All right, the fourth thing. Yield. P-R-A-Y. Yield. Now, as I said earlier, these things, these kind of prayers can happen any time during the day. Any time of day, you can have an R. Any time during the day, you can have a P. Any time during the day, you can have an A. These things happen continually. But it's also good to have a block of time, whatever it is, 3 minutes, however long it is, to work this. And so what I do, every morning, I have a block of time, and I don't always do P-R-A-Y, but it's one of the things that I'll regularly do. And when I get to this one, the Y is yield, and what I'll sometimes do is to do a physical thing to help me concentrate. It's kind of one of the reasons we bow our heads, because the physical thing to help us concentrate. So when I come to the yield is all about, God, I want to hear from you, and I'm going to do it. And so what I sometimes do is I'll kind of pray. I'm sitting down on my couch. I'll put up my hands like this because this is kind of like the universal sign for surrender. I give. I surrender. In fact, if you ever see anybody in church do this sometime during a song or something like that, that's where that traces back to. Simply going, I surrender. I surrender. And so this is very, very important. And you know, before you do this yield thing, you need to settle something. In fact, even before you do the P thing, you need to settle something. It's this. What you're going to do right now is you're going to ask God to talk to you. You're going to ask God to tell you something you haven't thought of before. You're going to ask God to communicate to you. And here's the key thing. Never ask God to talk to you if you haven't first committed to do whatever he says. Never. Don't do it. Settle in your mind right away. Am I serious about this prayer thing? Am I serious about this growth thing? And if you're serious about it, when you come to those moments of shutting your yapper, when you come to those moments of being silent, you must have pre-decided to do what you hear. Huge, important thing. And so what you do in silence is you just see the thoughts that start coming across your mind. Sometimes some thought will come to you that is so out there, where in the world did that thing come from, that you have to wonder, did God put that thought in my mind? You know, it's hard. This is going to take years for you to be able to discern what God's voice sounds like for you. It's going to take a long time for you to figure out how it comes. But you have to start somewhere. And one of the things you do is you err on the side of following through. So one of the things you do is you say, well, was that just an extraneous thought? Or was that God putting that thought there? Rough rule of thumb. If it's a good thought, then it's from God, do it. If it's not bad, do it. Rough rule of thumb. And I remember doing this a couple years ago. I was sitting there and I was just being silent, and baptism came to my mind. Boom, baptism. I thought, baptism. We were doing getting ready to do a baptism service for people who have given their lives to Christ as adults, or high school kids or some such thing. And I really believe that if you've been baptized as an infant and then you become a Christian, you are not mandated biblically to go through that. I believe you're not mandated, but I think it's if you haven't been baptized ever and you follow Christ, it's a necessary thing. And I respect people who think, no, everybody has to be baptized, as an adult if you're a follower of Christ because you didn't know anything when you were a kid. I respect that line of reasoning. I just don't buy into it. But as I'm praying, I get this thought of, Brian, you need to be baptized as an adult. And I had some pride that started coming to me. I said, oh, no. How's a pastor going to get wet in front of everybody? At that point, we get all kind of reasons when we get a prompting from God to not do it. For some people, for something like that, it's pride. For other people, it's fear. Oh, no, I can't, But that doesn't mean God doesn't want us to do it. There's a lot of things God wants me to do that my pride gets in the way of that I should still do. There's a lot of things God wants me to do that I'm fearful about, but God said, I don't care if you're fearful, do it. But when I had to really wrestle with that, and that's why a couple years ago I did. That was a fantastic experience. But that's just one of many examples for me of when I've sensed God saying something, I had to go do it. The discovery photo was, or the dolphin photo was another one. Right now. Let's go to God right now. Right now. Let's go ahead. God, in the silence of this place, many of us have never asked you what you want of our lives. Speak to us right now. Direct our thoughts. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.